Look, if you want to pierce your nipples, that's none of my business. But I think it's pretty clear that Mayor Andrew Cuomo has pierced nipples, okay? It even looks like a double Dutch deal. I don't know if it's called that, but it's like two piercings, like an X, into his nipples, okay? I'm asking, though, but has he been checked for a nixivum scar? That's what I want to know.
If you want to
just be a big black void for this pod, you're welcome to. I give you permission. Right now, that's what we see. We just see a big black void. So,
all right. I'll try to fix it. But
we just started talking about a little bit of the alien goss.
Oh my god! Okay, good. This is just in time.
Yeah. So we're going to be talking about collapse support. So for anybody if you're watching on Twitch, thank you. We did a similar episode last week, which I might delete because I think it was echoey. But for some reason it didn't save. So we decided to do collapse support again. We said we were going to do collapse support. We had talked about collapse the last pod we did. Had a little bit of rearranging, obviously, in the quarantine. It's funny, like this quarantine, you would think that it would make everybody more like a chance to be more organized and dial in stuff, but the chaos of everything has just kind of thrown me off personally. So like ordinarily we have, even though we're a little inconsistent sometimes, we have a rhythm, and the fact that it threw our rhythm off has oddly enough made it hard to like get into the groove to do podcast weekly, weirdly enough. So we're going to try to, now that we're in like week four of quarantine. But anyway, so we did collapse support. It got canceled or it got deleted somehow. So we're going to talk about collapse support. But also, there's been other things that have obviously been happening that are very pertinent to some stuff that we talked in the past that we want to talk about again. Aliens being one of them. So,
hell yeah.
So, do you want to? So, all right, back to the Good Boys. So, you were on with Camp Good Boy. They were talking aliens.
Friend of the pod, Camp Good Boy.
Yeah, popcorn.
Great podcast. A couple of guys from out Mountain Way.
Right.
They, a couple of action movie writers, real nice fellas, but I've been on their pod a couple of times and it's great. You know, it's a little bit similar in tone to our pod. I would say we do a lot of goofing and gaffing. But they wanted to get my take on this idea that coronavirus is potentially an alien invasion. It's just, it's not the kind of alien invasion we've seen in the movies. It's coming in the form of these like small molecules. And then it sort of spun off into this whole tangent of maybe this is sort of the aliens checking us for how we've been treating Mother Nature and planet Earth. And this is their way of saying like, hey guys, get your shit together. We're watching you. And it started this whole conversation. After the podcast, I started getting a lot of texts and emails about aliens. And the news started sort of breaking at the same time. And there's been all this big uptick in alien sightings during coronavirus.
Can we pull up the video that you found? Or I guess I could pull it up on my screen. Because this is I think, it's worth annotation, this video, because it was actually fucking insane.
Yeah, we should watch it and comment in real time.
Yeah. And it has
I'm going to let you pull it up. So
yeah, of course, when we see Alien Detroit, what was it, 2020 Detroit alien sighting, maybe?
Yeah, and this like the same reports of this sighting were in Cleveland, Detroit, like the surrounding areas of you know, that's your neck of the woods, I guess. Like
yeah, where, the good old Midwest. Let's see if I can find it in our chat stream.
Yeah, so we had some nice conversations about the potential of, and it's an interesting idea. Like we all think the aliens are coming as grays, but
yeah,
maybe they come as this little virus thing and they're just trying to get our attention.
I mean, I don't know, dude. I liked the counterpoint that I think you had made or they had made.
This is a different kind of direction,
this compels me that they're potentially leaving. All right. So I got this boy pulled up. So let me make it visible for the...
Yeah, so the counterpoint to that is that because of COVID, Corona beer, the aliens are deciding to just get the F out of Dodge because it's getting a little too hot in the kitchen, which is a bad sign because A lot of people
think this is a Corona. There's a Corona beer thing more than anything. This is
mostly it's like they're not into the beer. They like all the IPA breweries have gone down. They're like, we're out.
Right.
Later. No, but if the aliens are leaving because something's wrong on Earth, that means Earth's like about to get worse. Like, oh no.
Yeah.
Like, do they know? Is this like when a dog senses an earthquake or something?
Mm-hmm. Gosh,
damn.
Maybe. Anyway, all right. So we're all here. We're live streaming on Twitch. If you're not listening, or if you're just listening on the pod, all good. You can go back and look if you want to see us on IRL. Twitch.com/DigiReddit. And then I guess we should probably, I mean, we're posting this, so we kind of realized the other day that Friday is a super micro YouTube celebrity.
Yes.
With at more subscribers than we probably have in our entire podcast. So we're also going to be putting these on his YouTube channel.
Which is just Dominic Russo.
Right.
Which is it's my name. Which is, guys, pseudonym. The cat is, that's my fake name. Don't look it up.
Don't look it up.
So there's the backstory behind my name when you do look it up is that there's this big time evangelical preacher out of Texas who's roughly my age and commands like massive audiences for the Lord. Nice. And he's maybe a little like Latino, but like we look enough the same where you could be like, he's also like a huge minister. You're like, it's a different guy. So, but anyway. He seems like a good dude, but maybe
I love the idea of you being an evangelical, like prosperity gospel preacher.
If you Google him, you'll come to his website, and he's like in a crowd of 100,000 people, like on their knees. It's crazy shit. You're like, wow. Crazy. It makes me
that world feel like, is insane to me. You guys saw the Danny McBride show, right? About that.
Yeah.
So good. I'm really hoping they do a second season because that show was a sleeper for my favorite show of this past year because there are just so many little bits, you know, like the guy, who's the dude who
Tony Cavallaro
is that what his name was?
Yes, he's like an you know through the biz that I work in, I've done a bunch of things with him, like coming up and working with him. He was always. It's like super duper funny. You're like, God, this guy's gonna pop huge soon. And this is, I think, the first time he's. It's interesting. That show is full of like comedy heavyweights.
Oh, super!
Everyone's really good, but he's the new guy, right?
Yeah. Totally.
So as an audience member, you're like, I know these other people, and like their shtick is great. I love it, but this new shtick is something's cool going on here. And so he's kind of this like sleeper star.
It's so funny. It's like just the tone that he uses and like when he goes back to the satanic cult. It's so funny. It's I kind of want to rewatch it now that because we're in this fucking horrible
they are doing a second season.
Abyss,
by the way.
They're definitely doing one.
Yeah, follow his Instagram and there he actually was out there just before this lockdown started. They started filming. Mm. They're filming out in like South Carolina.
And guys, that's where Danny McBride's from, right?
He posts a lot of pictures and stuff about it. It's all public. Amazing. It's like, but I guess the production is halted. But I'm not sure.
Well, hope it's not halted for that long. But anyway, all right. So so like I said, we're going to talk about Collapse Support. Kind of fill in where we left off. The last time you've probably heard us, if you're watching on Twitch and you've seen us talk about Collapse Support, I'm sorry, we just got to do it again because I fucking deleted the file on accident or it just was deleted. I don't really know what happened. But before we get into that, so interesting news on the front page of Reddit these past few weeks. We've already talked a little bit about the aliens. We're probably going to do a whole episode about that. We've also been asked to do an episode about Wall Street bets. From our dear listener, I'm not even going to say his name. I don't remember his username, but he emails us every once in a while. And if you want to email us, you're more than welcome. It's hi@digireddit.com. We like engaging with the fans and friends, and you know, it's a good way to get a free sword from us because we usually send swords to our peeps. Wall Street Bets has been super dramatic lately, and it's a heavyweight. So we've kind of resisted doing an episode about it because it's such a big sub that we just don't really have the capability to cover it with like the depth it deserves. Like there are big subs like funny, of course, or like, you know, today I fucked up or whatever, but those are like light lift. Wall Street Bets has like a whole culture behind it that we just know we need. We just need to do some research and kind of get down to the bottom of it. But just to cover it, I think before we kind of belabor, kind of go into some of the other things. So Wall Street Bets, let me see if I can bring up the post that is talks about it. Cause it is actually quite interesting. And I think it's just worth on the surface, just even briefly discussing. Let me see if I can find it. All right. So Wall Street Bets 2 days ago, Wall Street Bets,
forever.
Actually, I don't know if it was 2 days ago, but Wall Street Bets went private. So here's basically what has happened. So Jartek is this guy's name, is the sub, yeah, J-A-R-T-E-K, is one of the moderators on Wall Street Bets. I'm going to share my screen with you guys. Can you guys see what's going on? So Jartek, evidently, I saw a post on the front page a couple weeks ago that was like, ladies and gentlemen, we got him. Right. And it was posted on Wall Street Bets. And evidently, a fella named Jartek, as you see there, is one of the mods and has been profiting on Wall Street Bets before anybody knew. Right. So evidently what had happened. So it went private. And this is actually from subreddit drama. So summary. So the lead mod and creator of the sub, you, Jartek, has been monetizing the subreddit, possibly against Reddit's rules. Mm-hmm. He published a book about the sub and recently has announced a live trading competition. So he has basically turned Wall Street Bets, which in the culture behind Wall Street Bets, without getting too deep into it, is kind of like it feels a little bit like kamikaze traders, right? Is that kind of a good way to describe it? I mean, do you guys follow it in that capacity?
No, I don't really. But I think there's also just so many trolls. Like, how do you know that anything anybody says on here is honest? And so I think there's potential for disaster. It doesn't seem like it's trustworthy as far as where trades are going to, like what people say they're going to do are going to do.
Well, I don't really know. I mean, there's been a lot of, there were some strange, there were a lot of strange things that were happening with that sub where like evidently they had crashed. What is that really popular trading, like a micro trading platform?
E-Trade.
No, it was one of the new ones that I don't remember what it's called. It's very, very popular, but they had crashed it. So it seems.
So, okay. So they're like troll traders in a way, like they're yeah. fucking up, you know, because if you can trade electronically, what's stopping sort of the bad boys of Reddit, you know, these guys right. from coming in and having their way with some of the loopholes. I mean, I guess there's hypothetically some safeguards in place, but I don't know right. if
so,
you know, this might be a way to
exactly.
beat it.
So he's suspected of having all these alts. And then without getting too much into the drama, basically it went private and everybody who was kind of, this is typical on Reddit, but like people that were posting shit that was derisive to him mm-hmm. were getting kind of shadow banned or banned in general. There's a Discord where all this communication was kind of central. And anyway, Wall Street Bets is back. Yada yada, Wall Street Bets is back. The drama is kind of over and Jartek, I believe has been banned or is no longer kind of allowed to be doing is modding this sub. So interesting drama happening there. We will cover that in depth on another episode is what I'm saying.
Yes, there's all that drama, but what they're doing essentially is like trying to make money off of the stock market using Reddit as a place to communicate. Is that in a nutshell?
That's seemingly what has been happening, yes.
Yeah, well, and just to like, this whole stock market crash is going to lead to a lot of people in the stock market getting rich in some way. It's sort of above right. my pay grade. Dog boobs, I don't know about you, but
not my line of expertise.
But it's like one of these things where you're like, I know this feels like a good time to like make a move in the market. I just, it's not what I do, but I know I should be doing it. Dog boobs?
That's a big thing that happened this week is Bernie dropped out.
I know. I was interested to talk to you guys about this because...
Yeah, it's been a bad week for me in general. And
do you want to keep that to yourself or do you want to talk about it? We're happy. This is your forum. If you want to talk about it, by all means. If you don't, we get it.
Yeah, I don't want to like go into it or anything, but I know a lot of people can relate. We had to put down one of our family dogs. She was just about 14 years old, so she was with us for a very, very long time. So that's still really fresh. And fucking Bernie dropped out same day.
Wow. Didn't
care about my feelings. So it's been like a pretty interesting week in general, but I saw something on Twitter about him dropping out and it was like, thanks for showing us that a better world is not possible, Biden. That's pretty much what happens.
Biden just a guy that's going to keep the status quo going for all these crooked mother effers, dude.
Crooked mother effers, as per usual.
As per usual. It does feel like, really sorry to hear about the dog. That's so hard. That's brutal, man. But yeah. Not a coronavirus related illness.
Old age. It was definitely.
Like now you have to qualify that. Unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I guess in some capacity that is a good thing, as awkward as that says to or is to say.
Yeah.
That it wasn't, you know, because I think that that's like as when we start seeing, you know, when we start seeing coronavirus deaths with people we care about, it starts feeling people we care about, like Boris Johnson, for instance.
Exactly.
Yeah. He's back. Like you can't get rid of him.
Evidently he's back. He's somehow back. I'm trying hard to avoid saying disappointed. I do not want to wish ill on anybody, but there's an element of like I had heard evidently that Trump didn't start taking this thing seriously until one of his friends got sick. You know, and then all of a sudden he was like, "Oh, this is real," which I think is obviously annoying. There's a slight echo too. I'm going to continue playing tech support just as you guys are talking. So if I'm quiet for anybody who's listening, exclusively listening right now, that's why. I'm playing tech support guy. But anyway, continue.
Yeah, cool. Anyway,
So I'm sorry, dog. I know that's tough, hey. And we do feel for you, obviously. We are a tight-knit little family here at DigiReddit, and that really is not.
Yeah.
We don't like to hear that. So.
No, thank
you. Very sorry.
Guys. Appreciate it.
It's rough. Good dog. Yeah. I mean, good dog. What was that dog's name?
Maggie.
Nah, that's a good doggy name.
Yeah, classic. She was a classic good girl.
You're a good girl.
She was a good girl.
Nice. Well, she's with us today.
Yes. She
really is.
She is. And now more than ever, I need collapse support.
you know who was offering some pretty good collapse support? Probably the best yet is the Queen of England.
Speech.
And there's a great on the front page, like five down or something.
Yeah.
Somebody, six down, somebody used her beautiful green top as a green screen. And then they basically did what we're doing on our Zoom backgrounds, but on her green top.
Love this.
And they've been making some really cool backgrounds out of it. But I thought her speech, I just watched it again this morning. I mean, look, like the lady's been cooped up in a mansion for like 100 years.
Yeah.
She's come out to tell everyone it's going to be okay. Like part of me is like, you're going to be fine.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of people that are working for Postmates who might be fucked,
right.
Which is not you, but you aren't hearing a lot of world leaders saying things that make you feel a little bit better. I feel like this speech was like, you're like, okay, this feels like got it under control.
The Queen's speech, you mean?
Yeah. Yeah. That was a
I mean,
nice
it's interesting.
Speech.
this is an interesting component of leadership that I find compelling, right? Do you guys want to keep an eye on our Twitch, by the way, and respond if you guys feel inclined? I think, Freed, you have access to the channel, right?
I'm on it.
We're talking to, shout out Dusty Chan. I literally feel like I'm a Wall Street trader right now. Like, I have 3 different screens and my phone up, and I'm like monitoring each of them, keeping an eye on, trying to like pay attention to sounds and shit. Anyway, so yeah, I thought that speech was also very interesting. I think that the Queen did a pretty good job with it. Like, that's one of those leadership things that you forget about, that I think is really important and is something that obviously Trump has historically not been very good at, which is making people feel like comforted by the words that are coming out of your leader's mouth. Yeah. I have gotten that a little bit out of Garcetti, right? Out of our mayor. Yeah. And I think we've seen that out of Cuomo. I mean, nothing brings joy and peace and a feeling of safety to my deep soul like seeing nipple piercings through my mayor's shirt. I don't know if you guys have seen that with Cuomo.
He doesn't really have nipple piercings. He just has long ass suckable nipples, right?
that's one take on it, I guess.
In the apocalypse, I'm going to his milk farm, dude. That's where I'm headed.
The Andrew Cuomo milk farm. Oh, that's crucial.
Yoinky, yoinky.
Let's get down to Andrew Cuomo nipple pierce gate while we're on the topic, because I do think it's important. Evidently, I think H3 covered it pretty in depth, which is nice to see.
Ethan's been back. It's been nice.
Yeah, he's been doing a lot of they're like doing the old H3 thing, which is actually kind of tight. So
I think he was burnt out on the old one, went into the depression, quit, and now he feels like he's stabilized and he's doing it again, and I'm excited.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, we at some point we're gonna connect with them in a serious way, because I think that they're like a, in my opinion, they're like a public service. I think a lot of people view them that way. And it was interesting hearing when we had talked to the teen, or teens rather, and hearing kind of the influence that H3 had on their lives. I thought was actually kind of interesting.
They're like the Saved by the Bell of this new generation.
Totally. And they just in general have been, yeah, they're like, I don't know, like H3 just does a good job. All right, so we asked professional piercers if Cuomo actually has nipple rings. Outlines under governor's shirt are causing a frenzy online, but does the internet pandemic daddy really have pierced nipples? Let's get down to the bottom of this. All right, so this is a pretty important image right here, right? And this, I think, flies in the face of maybe your hypothesis, Freed.
That he's, I mean, he's literally going to feed the population.
Yeah.
Of New York.
I mean, look at this nipple beautiful, milk. This his face in conjunction with the nipple piercings, I think is just like kind of the image of our times, you know?
Yeah. Like sometimes, you know, those like iconic images of leaders that define a
generation. Their entire.
I think that's one.
People are saying he has 3 nips. I see, this is one of those things where, like, it, you know, whenever we hear good conspiracy, there's truth is always somewhere in the middle, right? Where it's always like, yeah. Like I don't know if you guys have been listened to JFK's or the last pod JFK podcast. It was like a 7-parter.
No.
And it was really interesting because they get into kind of some of the conspiracies about JFK, et cetera. They break down all of the conspiracies that have to do with JFK. And, you know, what they eventually come to is this one that's like not, it's like a little bit of a conspiracy and it's kind of exciting, but not incredibly exciting. So it's like the alien thing. It's like, cool, like aliens may be here and may be leaving, but they might be leaving for like stupid reasons. So you're kind of like, oh,
maybe whatever. It's just spring break for the aliens. Like, we don't know.
Yeah. Shit. So anyway. I think that's, that's the so
remember
the
going to that full
here,
moon party. Woo!
The proposition here on our Twitch right now like is that Andrew moon. Cuomo has three nipples, which is fun. Don't get me wrong, that's a fun idea, but is that as fun as him having nipple piercings?
No,
no, right. So I feel like in this case, I just want to like I want to believe, right?
Yeah.
Like, is it fun? Is the idea fun that Santa Claus is actually your parents and they're just giving you surprise gifts? Be like, yeah, I mean, it's fun. I like that my parents do that. But is it more fun that an ageless wizard comes through your chimney and puts random things that he's been spying on you to get information on under a fucking pine tree in your living room? More fun? Yeah, objectively. And I feel like that's kind of where I stand on the Andrew Cuomo nipple debate, right?
Yeah, I'm with you.
That logic making sense. I don't know. That's kind of a roundabout way.
I want to believe.
Sure. Go ahead, dog boob. Sorry.
I just feel like I feel similarly. It's like in today's uncertain times, why can't we believe that he has nipple piercings? If it brings me comfort,
exactly,
and if it provides peace during this collapse,
right?
Why can't I
restructuring?
Earth. And
what corporate is restructuring on a biological level?
I want to believe. We should get the picture. Right. Get a picture of him with the "I want to believe" X-Files thing, because I do want to believe that. Does it seem like his right nipple?
It's his right. Yeah.
Well, I think the idea of having only one is even more appealing. You know.
Yeah.
Because that to me feels like that suddenly we're getting into this world. Let's see what Gizmodo say. Evidently, they claim to have solved this. I don't know if I believe it, but but yeah, I mean, the idea of, because people who only have one nipple piercing, I think, are an interesting breed, right? Yeah, it's like getting a leprechaun, like a little like four leaf clover tattoo on your like right. Like if you like meet somebody who like it's clean cut and then you find out they have one tattoo and it's like a don't look now, like, yeah, like a or like Calvin peeing on a Ford, but it's like right above their genitals, you know?
You're like a Playboy.
Like you kind of like, whoa.
Like what I have.
What a weird decision. And I feel like that's kind of the one nipple piercing thing, right?
But it actually looks the same on both nipples, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know, was he ever a boxer or anything? Or like a severe body, like was he a competitive bodyboarder?
Nipples?
Can you explain to me how that has anything to do with why he would have one or two?
Cauliflower nipples.
Yeah, cauliflower nipples. I think they could get, like as they get damaged over time, they develop calluses. Like maybe he was like a big bodyboarder in New Jersey or something. We don't know. But
maybe.
Or he's just got puffy, bumpy nipples. Like bumpy those are nipples. A thing.
He might just have bumpy nipples. You know?
I'm into that theory.
And that's cool. But you know what? After this, and you know what? Shame on his people for letting him wear that shirt. That would never happen if he were a woman. Someone in his team would have been like, "Hun, your nipples are bumpy, and people are going to see that."
Yeah,
but don't we think maybe this is is there a chance that this is mental chess a little bit? Where if definitely don't want to exit. If this is mental chess a little bit, and him showing his nipples is the distraction we need, because right now New York is such a fucking pandemic center point and problem. Maybe. Like the way people are currently talking about the coronavirus is like, when you look at maps of all the problems and with coronavirus, New York is like its own statistic, you know? Like it's like it'd be as if we're like China and then Beijing, and it's just like China as a whole is this number, and then Beijing is like its own thing. That's how we're treating New York right now, because New York is so fucked. Yeah. So, like, I don't want to be a truther here, but I guess I do want to be a truther here. But is there a chance that his team was like, listen, you have the golden ticket under your shirt, Andrew. Mm-hmm. We need to expose this to distract people from all of the problems that are happening, right?
I'll take you one further. Okay. The night before... they talk to him and they're like, we need to do something extraordinary to get people's minds off of this.
Right.
And they bring in a piercer.
Oh, okay. So you think this happened?
Yes.
This happened after. So yeah. This is part of the mental chess idea, right?
Yeah. His strategist came to him the night before this speech and were like, listen, this is the Big Apple. People are going to need something pretty intense to get their minds off of this.
Right.
How are you going to connect with like the young punks down on the Lower East Side smoking their crack?
Yeah.
You get your nipple pierced. And so when you go down and you go, hey kids, listen to me, trust me. And then you show them your nipple. You go, look, I'm one of you. Yeah. I got a pierced nipple. And they go, ah, cool, Mr. Cuomo.
Cool.
What do you need us to do? Distance? We're in.
Maybe.
Like a tactic.
I like the theories that are kind of bubbling up here. And I'm gonna take it one step further, and then we're gonna probably talk about collapse support because yeah. I know this is a hilarious tangent that we've run on by here. But I'm gonna take it one further and say this may be the reason. Can you see that? Yeah, I guess if I move the right way, you can see that the nips on the screen. So this is, I think, maybe the big misfire of the Bloomberg campaign.
No nips.
Because Bloomberg went one step where he was trying to get young voters through memes.
Yeah.
Right? And I think Cuomo goes, hey, I think you're onto something. Mm-hmm. But you were trying to get the meme makers through paid endorsement.
Yes.
I am going to enter their zeitgeist by creating something that can then be memeable, mm-hmm. which can make me more likable and distract, right?
Yeah. Plus, he's also getting into the probably BDSM, which we all know the, you know, Gen Z loves.
Have you seen Billions, right? The show on Showtime?
I haven't. Everybody loves that show. I just haven't.
It's like once you get into it, it's fun. It feels like gluttonous. Nobody talks like that. Everyone's like really cool and smart, and you're like, cool.
Right. Yeah, of course.
It's just like fantasy world of like, that's how I'm going to move some money around. But the mayor, Paul Giamatti character, is like I think he becomes a governor at some point. But he's super into BDSM, and that's his secret, the whole show.
Huh.
And they show it from the beginning, and he's like this super control freak in the show. But then this is what he does. His wife knows about it. It's like this little secret. This is what he does on the side, and he gets like whipped and beaten. And it becomes this thing politically, like, when people find out about this, how are they going to react? And so
right.
I think the whole BDSM thing is actually potentially could be true. I mean, these people live in this world of like really confined spaces where
right.
they have to watch their back 24/7. And so to be able to like go into a private space and like gets pissed on or get your nipple pierced and like get beaten, like maybe that's what gets him off in for 30 minutes a week or
right.
something. Maybe. I don't know.
Didn't we have some version of conversation about when the Jeffrey Epstein thing was happening where they...
Epstein.
Because you have so much power and you have so much control, or you're like kind of at the certain echelon of celebrity and politics and whatever, the things that get you off are more complicated, which is why people speculate about like celebrity and political pedophile rings, is because it's like when you can get any man or woman that you want, all of a sudden it starts being like, well, this is boring, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel like maybe, and this is, we're not like fetish shaming, like I think this is like BDSM is rad if you're into that. I mean, like anything, if you're into that except for fucking kid shit, but like your logic with the politics, I think, is a little bit of the shades of that thing, which is just like the only, like I go so extreme because I can't get off in any other way, because the things that get me off are like power control and shit.
And then the risk of losing it, in this case, wearing a very thin, silky, what looks right. like maybe a polyester blend kind of a shirt, something that wicks right. moisture pretty well, that shirt, real nice. But it shows the nips hard. Wow. Maybe I'm saying he's flying close to the sun because he likes the excitement of it all. What if they find out?
Right. I'm evidently So I'm reading this. We're gonna end it here, but I'm not gonna tell you guys the conclusion because I just want to like leave it in that the mysterious kind of the valley of mystery, if you will, that I just made up. So the top line on this, I can't believe you fuckers made me solve the Andrew Cuomo nipple mystery on Gizmodo, is the name of the article. The top line is, it brings me no pleasure to announce that I have solved the mystery of Andrew Cuomo's nipples. And I'm just going to leave it there because I don't want to know if not. Like, if he has cauliflower nipples, I don't want to know. I just want to live under the illusion that his nipples are pierced. Got it done in Myrtle Beach.
Yep.
Maybe Daytona.
Exactly.
That's that.
Maybe he got them pierced, and then this is the aftermath, is the cauliflowering, you know? He took them out, but now they're like
Think this is an infection?
Well, like, you know, it's just, yeah. It's like a scar tissue from a, I mean, we were all in the 80s in New York. It was a wild time, you know? Coke, AIDS.
That's true.
Trading.
We were all in the 80s in New York.
Yeah, we remember. Crazy times.
It was a wild time.
He would have been like, you know, 30 getting his nipple pierced.
That's true.
Would have been cool.
Okay, so let's talk about, so let's close this segment out by talking briefly about things, other things that have been happening on the top page of this week. I mean, the biggest, I would say the biggest news that we just need to like close the door on is Bernie dropped out of the race. I'm like a Bernie guy, but I think I've also seen some interesting tweets from people. In just general conversation where people are like, if you are upset because Bernie is dropping out because you wanted Bernie to be president, then clearly you weren't supporting Bernie for the right reasons or something to that degree. Mm. Which I thought is kind of an interesting take, which is like the idea of Bernie being of voting for Bernie is not really the reason you vote for Bernie. It's because you are choosing to believe in these bigger topic issues that people are still fighting for. That doesn't necessarily convert to Joe Biden, but there are still, there are other issues that are still worth supporting. I had seen in conjunction with this, by the way, that evidently Bernie Sanders is keeping anybody who is on his staff, he's keeping them on staff through November.
Oh, wow.
Just to keep them on payroll and to give them, to make sure they continue to have health care, which I thought was just like the most beautifully Bernie Sanders thing, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. But it does bring me no joy to announce that, of course.
Yeah.
It seems like there's time for the next political party to emerge as like a real contender in the next couple elections. I mean, it feels like there's enough people aren't into that or that where they could be into this.
I love that idea. I mean, who fucking knows who knows what's next, man? Honestly, it's like
aliens are gone. It's not a good sign.
No,
it's not. It's not good. I mean, it's going to be very interesting, but anyway, that was top important news. I mean, the other things that I think are worth talking about. I mean, there's some things. I'm just going to bring up the homepage. I'm going to put it on a share screen for everybody to see, just to see what we're kind of discussing right now. So what else we got? So the Queen, I mean, as you discussed, the Queen's green screen shirt made quite the waves. This one, I've seen this passed around a million times, which is funny. So of the tracker. So there is a in Finland, -1 people have died from coronavirus as of right now.
I sent this to
New Death.
We have a mutual Finnish friend, shout out Finland, that doesn't exist, right. But I sent this shout to my the only Finnish person I know. Right. I was like, that's cool. Of course Finland is increasing their population.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
With their 32-year-old prime minister, who's a woman.
Amazing. Yeah, that country's governance. I mean, it's going to be really interesting to see where they go as a country, because they have a very young, very progressive president, governor. I'm not entirely sure kind of the language they use to describe their governing body. Because she's so young, I feel like she's kind of pulling in some of those some of those attributes that we want out of a president. Kind of like, you know, if Bernie Sanders was 35 type shit. And so granted, yeah, they're a small country, they don't have a massive GDP, whatever, but I'm really hoping that it kind of spells out kind of a future, like a progressive future by way of these young candidates. I know I'd spent a bit of time in Finland, and when I was over there, I was just kind of learning as much as I could about whatever. And they have the best, I believe they have the best primary education system in the world, because evidently their teachers are paid well, really respected, and to the point where they're actually poached from massive companies. So they're poached from places like fucking, like what was the, there was a huge cell phone company that was based in Finland for a while. Nokia, I think.
Nokia.
It's so they,
an Italian twist. Yeah.
Yes. So they poach people from places like Nokia, whatever. So good ups to wow. Finland. I hope that's great. This has been making a lot of waves. I'm not going to click on this link because it's going to take a while to open, but we're seeing a lot of the class divide that we would expect that's happening because of people like Sir Philip Green, who has asked for taxpayers to help pay emergency wages to his staff. Meanwhile, he has three yachts of various sizes.
I mean, to be honest, that's why I got rid of my boat. Yeah, was right. Because the upkeep was just too expensive.
It's a lot.
Well, your yacht, the yacht that you lived on.
Yes, it is. It is funny. Like the money that's being doled out right now by the government is our money that we gave them, right. And they're giving it back to us. And so, you know, I feel like politicians feel like it's like we're giving it to, we're doing you a favor by giving you some of our money. It's like, no, fucker, that's my money. You just been holding on to it, so give it back because I need it. Buzz off.
I mean, other than that, I mean, this week, I think, you know, there's a lot of interesting shit, but we don't need to belabor it because I think, let's be honest, this is still like everything's about coronavirus in some way or another. So let's talk about collapse support. While things have gotten crazier, I think people are also settling into it. And the settling into it is actually even worse because now we're kind of no longer living on the adrenaline of this new thing that, you know, has been like dramatic, right? So now we're kind of settling into just being in quarantine, not going out. I mean, I had a revelation the other day, like a very subtle revelation where I went to pick up some takeout pizza. Cause I do think it's very important if you can to support the local restaurants and shit that you like, just because everybody's kind of, you know, suffering and it's, you know, whatever.
And but, you gotta fucking eat and go to a grocery
store. And you gotta eat, yeah, of course. I mean, grocery stores are one thing. Like, I think people are obviously stocking up and doing whatever, but if you like restaurants and you have a favorite restaurant, then, you know, support it if you can in whatever way they're allowing you to support it, because, you know, there's a good chance that they don't stay in business. There are people that work for them that have been furloughed, need help. I mean, this is really kind of bringing out the best and the worst of certain restaurants, obviously. But anyway, so I went to get pizza and they had their dining room blocked off. And I just like had a moment, and they had, you know, I could see their beer taps. There were like a couple beer taps. And I was just like, fuck, I really miss sitting at a bar and watching an inconsequential sports match and just having a shitty beer and just like maybe not talking to anybody. Maybe being with a friend or two, but not like, not really socializing, just sitting in a bar and watching a game.
One of the secret glories to being a new dad is going to pick up the pizza or the takeout or whatever.
Right.
And going like on purpose 20 minutes before it's ready and then sitting at the bar and having like a beer alone where you're like, oh man, I never thought I'd like this as much as I'm liking this. And then you like talk to the random stranger, you're like, hey man. And the guy's like, dad. I'm like, oh yeah. And it's like this weird little society. And you're like, this is the best.
Yeah.
For 10 minutes, it's the best. And that's gone. And you're right. I miss it so much.
The little joys, man. It's like these really little things that you just like forget are sweet about life. So I'm starting to fall into that a little bit. That's kind of like my phase right now of this kind of collapse that we're experiencing is forgetting, you know. And I also have a friend who we'd kind of been talking about the Fauci news, where Fauci was basically like, no one should ever shake hands again. And it's kind of like a, is that a way to live your life type shit? You know what I mean? Where I'm like, I get right now we're trying to take care of each other. But then like in the middle of the collapse, if the government says you should never go outside, it's potentially unsafe. Then I kind of go, well, is it any more psychologically unsafe than me going outside and playing with my friends and getting joy out of it? Like I used to think about this with cigarettes, right? Like cigarettes are obviously objectively bad for you on, in a health capacity, but the way they make you feel when you're talking to people or you're like engaging with people in an interesting way over cigarettes is really nice. And you can get a lot of joy out of that. And I think that that shouldn't be discredited in the conversation about like health, right?
Yeah, and similar argument with like drinking socially and like sharing a pie with someone. Like that shit's not good for your body, but
exactly,
it's good for your soul.
It's good for your soul, exactly. So anyway, so that's kind of where I'm starting.
We're pro smoking on this podcast, especially yeah, during coronavirus.
Yeah, this pod, by the way, is brought to you by Philip Morris. Yeah, this. Spot sponsored today by Philip Morris Incorporated. So Marlboro, buy a 30 pack on, get two off.
To your point about
DYR checkout.
To your point about not shaking hands ever again. It's funny. I was thinking about how this Chinese virus, as our president calls it, started in a place where people do not shake hands. They bow. If you've ever been to Asia, you're like, yeah, this bowing thing's pretty tight. And in America, we shake hands, which is this huge germ sharing activity that you do, you know, if you're working multiple times a day. But also these Chinese people were eating bats, which isn't good for germ sharing. And we're like, that's gross. So we need to like each take a lesson from each other's playbook. And maybe we should start bowing a little. And maybe they should stop with the wet markets. And maybe we can meet somewhere closer to not as much germ sharing while being in public together. Right. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it brings me much joy thinking of a lot of the people I know in America bowing when they meet people.
I mean, we'll obviously come up with an American version of bowing, which is like, you
punching.
Know, it's got to be like a fist, like, you know, it can't be like, it's got to be like flexing both muscles or something. I don't know.
Like the fist Doyle pump rules. As a greeting is a pretty good American thing to do.
What's up? Really nice to meet you.
I love that. Like you walk into business meetings, have like a formal business meeting with the president Philip Morris, our sponsor today, and we walk in and we go, "What's up?
Happy to be here."
All right, so let's talk a little bit about what is happening in collapse support. So we talked about collapse last week. Collapse support is its own thing. Dog, I know you're not feeling amazing right now, but do you want to do the honors and read a little bit about this? I actually think that this is interesting because I think you are, not to put you on blast, but I know you've had a hard week. And so I think it's really interesting hearing you dissect some of what a place like collapse support is for people and kind of, because you have like kind of some micro things right now where obviously a dog being put to sleep is like the worst thing. And you know, that's a collapse in a different way.
Yeah.
That's a societal collapse. It's like personal collapse. But you know, we know that you think about this stuff and I think you had originally brought this up as something to do. So I would just like to hear your take, and especially as you're going through posts here.
Sure. Okay, so collapse support is kind of a companion, or maybe it was a response to the subreddit collapse that we went through last week, but it's a dedicated place for thoughtful discussion about the state of the world as it stands today and how we're coping together. So it's been around for years, like 3 years, but it's been obviously more active since coronavirus because this coronavirus has kind of been the collapse of society as we know it over the past few months. So for people like me, as Doot La Doot has mentioned, like I lost my job. Lots of people have. I don't even know the number of people in America right now who've lost their jobs, like 10, 15 million people. I don't even know.
13 million.
13 or 17 million.
It's like it's like 10% of the country.
Yeah. So like,
which is a lot, but kind of expect more.
I'm sure there will be more. So they're like, tons of people have lost their jobs. Everybody's quarantined. People know people who are dying. People have a lot of anxiety about getting sick or having their families get sick or losing their jobs if they haven't already. And it's kind of cool because this place is a place for people to kind of come and talk about the fears that they have and kind of find support from other people who also have those fears. People post things like anxiety tips and interesting workbooks and stuff, personal stories, just it kind of runs the gamut of people posting things saying like, you know, it really hit me yesterday evening, I'm having a really bad time, to, hey, I found this PDF for coronavirus anxiety. It's a workbook. Like, I found it really helpful for me and my kids if you guys are interested too. So it's a lot of different things, but it's definitely become more active over the past few weeks because of the state of the world. And yeah, and so that's what we're going to cover today.
So what are you, when you lost your job and like, what are you doing? I mean, we've talked about this. Like, I mean, yeah, like we live in LA, like there's a lot of interesting industries that have kind of suffered from this. I mean, I think if you haven't lost your job, there's also there's a constant fear that you will, which is, I think, is a different part of the drama here, which is like a little bit, like, I think there's, I don't want to say there's closure in losing your job, but there's something interesting about the fact that because right now everybody, it's like, it honestly feels a little bit like the way the coronavirus is, where it's like, everybody's like, I can't catch it. But then like, when you catch it, you're like, well, I got it. Now I just got to get better. You know what I mean? Where it's just, yeah. There's a little bit of a different, it's almost comforting in a way.
Yeah. It's hard because we all know my Gap card situation, my Gap card balance. So it's hard when you don't have a shit ton of savings. And
of course, yeah.
Like, even people, I think that's the interesting thing about today. And again, we're talking about someone who doesn't have like the best instincts when it comes to personal finance. I'll admit it.
Right.
But it's like, even people who make a certain amount of money are still living paycheck to paycheck. So that's what's scary about this coronavirus mass unemployment, is that a lot of people are finding themselves in a similar position, that making, lots of people who are making six figures are not going to be able to pay their bills if they get laid off,
totally, you know,
in 1 month. So it's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah, I worry about that too. And not that I'm making a ton of money, but like I am constantly a little bit, I'm very like, I've had this conversation with my girlfriend a million times where I'm like extremely nervous about spending money in general. I've always have been, because I just was raised that way, where my parents were like, they're just like, their mantra was like, never have debt. And not that I have debt or we have debt, but like the idea of spending money in any capacity just freaks me out, because yeah, it feels like, and that's kept me from buying a house. That's kept me from doing any of the things that like adults do, because I'm just kind of like, if I buy a house, then, and what happens if whatever, right? Like, what happens if I lose my job? I'd rather, I'm like, it's the quest for freedom. Like, my whole thing, and not like the American, like, freedom, like I need a gun, freedom. It's like the idea of, was that?
Like, it's like, what if I need this money in a year?
Yeah. Like, it's just like, I want the freedom to be able to be like, oh fuck, well, maybe I'll move to Athens, Greece, where it's cheaper, because I'll figure it out. Right. And you know, that there's a lot of things I think about this current situation. I mean, I actually had a really weird, now that I think about it, I had a strange revelation. I was briefly talking to Fareed about this, I think, before you got on, and this is kind of related to the clap support stuff, but I was in my crawl space yesterday. And it's kind of a crawl space. It was like, it's the area between my attic and my roof, or between my ceiling and my roof.
Just getting some alone time during your lockdown?
just had to go up and read, you know,
with all,
amongst the fiberglass. But I, you know, I went up because we had a leak in our roof, and I was crawling around, and I crawled into this one area where we knew we had a leak, where we put a little bucket, like our roommate put a little bucket, because it was just like, let's catch the water and we'll, while we're trying to figure out how to fix it. And I had to go in and retrieve the bucket. And the way it was so fucking in there. And I went in to get it. And then I had a moment of like, I had a little bit of psychological panic, a little bit of like claustrophobia, where I was like, fuck. Like, it was kind of that weird thing about claustrophobia where you forget, you're like, I'm not claustrophobic, or like, I'm not scared of heights. And then all of a sudden you're like in it. And then you have a moment like of psychological panic that you can't really control. And I started feeling that. And then when I got down, I started feeling it a little bit more intensely about being at home. Like, I had like my claustrophobia. Once I got it, all of a sudden it started translating to other facets of my life, because I started feeling the weird attachment to like feeling trapped. I felt trapped, and then I came down, and then I was like, oh, I feel trapped in the coronavirus thing now. Like, I almost like kind of made an analog in my head. So anyway, that's, I think, what's interesting about the collapse support stuff is like, because a lot of the people on Reddit, and I think a lot of the people that are dealing with collapse, are thinkers who are not like, these aren't the kind of people who are just like, oh, shit, it's bad.
Mm-hmm.
No, these are people that are like, I'm watching nature fall apart, and I can't stop thinking about what it's going to be like in 15 years, and I need help making sense of it, right? So like, even this point on I'll share my screen again. So this point on depressive realism, I thought is really interesting. So depressive realism, so on the sidebar of collapse support, depressive realism, many of us have or are currently coping with depression. There's evidence that depression may lift the veil on some key cultural myths via depressive realism. And many of us have come to grasp collapse concepts while in a depressed state. We have an elevated risk of suicide. The subreddit is not capable of offering suicide prevention, but the outstanding people at Suicide Watch have taken up that mission. Please be advised that they're also phone chat, whatever. So the concept of collapse is terrifying and troubling. Arguably, there's still hope for survival and adaptation. That's an interesting way to frame that. Arguably, there's still hope. While this one is likely to be extreme, it is helpful to remember that we are all the descendants of previous survivors. We evolved from life forms that survived previous mass extinctions. We are all descendants of humans that are surviving, or that survived the numerous known civilization collapses. These are slow-moving phenomena that often take generations to play out. Hopefully, we can live well in the shadow of collapse and make the most of foresight, which is, I think, is very interesting. And what are they saying about depressive realism? I feel like we talked about this last time, but I don't remember what the deal was, right?
Depressive realism is the idea that people who are depressed have a more accurate perception of reality.
Oh, that's right.
So then more non-depressed individuals. So
you just described...
That's
like, I was just going to say that sounds like the American attitude versus the world attitude. Americans are like, fuck yeah, man, everything's the best.
Things aren't
the best in America necessarily, right? At the numbers.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, nope, in my head, shit rules. It's like, it's kind of the same. It's, if you have maybe an accurate perception of how things actually are, it does depress you versus an optimistic spin on things, which is maybe not true, but good for your mind. I don't know.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's interesting. It's an interesting thing. All right. So let's go over some of the posts in collapse support. And I also just want to talk about when we are talking about collapse support, dog, I'm not trying to interview you necessarily, but like, you know, you are, because you are dealing with some of the things that you've been dealing with, it's like, I'm very interested in what your support mechanisms are in the kind of concept of collapse support, like what you're doing to deal with it, how you're dealing with it, why, like what things you take solace in, because this is not to conflate depression or isolated micro collapse ideas with the global collapse concepts. I think this is more about global collapse, but I do think they're shades of the same coin, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think like the good thing about the subreddit, at least for me, is that it's there because at least speaking for myself, is I haven't even gotten to the point of coping yet, you know?
Right.
Like everything is still so, I don't know. Everything's still so fresh. And I think I'm still in the, like, I don't know if you guys are like this, but when like shitty stuff happens, like I kind of go into a little period of like, I don't know, like hermit crabbish. Like it's like, okay, time to hide from it for a little bit and then I'll cope with it. So it's right interesting. Now, I'm not dealing with it.
My girlfriend and I were talking about this last night. And we are the exact opposite. And she's like much more similar to you, where when she gets down, she just like she just wants to not hide from it, but like she just wants to like be like go in hibernation or like anesthetize with some thing.
Yeah.
My whole thing, because I think in terms of like mental health, I tend to be more on like the anxiety side. Like that kind of is the driver of my mental health issues than the depressive side. Like I have depressive moments, but like my depression comes from me feeling anxious and then it turns into like a failure syndrome thing. And then, and so my whole thing is like the second I start feeling like insecure or depressed or whatever, I like go, I have to do something and like make something to like get out of it. And then like the momentum is like an adrenaline for me that gets me out of it.
Yeah.
But like if I feel down, I just like lock myself away and start fucking going, like making stuff. And it does and doesn't help, right? Like sometimes it helps, sometimes it absolutely does not. But it's like in an attempt to make me feel motivated and in an attempt to make me feel like I have something to look forward to, even if it's fake, you know? Mm-hmm. But that's also unique to me. And like I said, I mean, when I was in college, I went to a therapist a couple of times and they thought I had obsessive compulsive disorder because I would just like get manically obsessive with shit when I was feeling like down, when I was kind of like mentally in a rough place. And then I took this thing called the MMPI, which is the Minnesota Multi-Personality Inventory. It's kind of like it's like a survey of how you test for like major psychological problems, you know, schizophrenia, suicide, whatever. And so I had general anxiety disorder with obsessive traits. And this is absolutely what happens. Like when I get super anxious, I become fucking obsessed with certain things, like absolutely irrationally obsessed. And it sometimes is really cool. Like I've like in the middle of this whole coronavirus thing, I've become obsessed with Call of Duty Warzone.
Yeah.
And it makes no sense. Like I literally like have played a couple times with my friends and then it's just what I do. I just become like, I get into something and then I just like can't stop thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be anything. It could be it could be poetry. It could be like oil painting. It could be like marbles. Like it's just like, something grabs my attention and then it's like the only thing I think about. And I think it's directly related to some of the things that come from something like collapse is why I'm bringing it up.
Yeah.
And it's my coping mechanism, I suppose. But
yeah.
Anyway, so some of the top posts on collapse support. This is an interesting one, right? So look at the bright side. So some people complain that this is the hottest summer in the last 25 years or 125 years. But I like to think of it as the coolest summer of the next 125 years. Glass half full, which I do find valid. And I think is a little bit of a, I don't want to say it's delusional. I think it's just like choosing positivity when positivity is an option, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Because looking at these posts, I'm like deconstructing a little bit in my own head about like what what it means to make or find support for the collapse. Like, is it sharing different point of views that might be able to give people a sense of peace? Because, you know, as you were just saying, like, right now you are not even in coping. Right now you're kind of in like the like shock, or, you know, the,
yeah,
I don't know, the cycle of grief or whatever, like the phases of grief. I think that you're in like the first phase, I think, right?
Yeah, totally.
And so hopefully collapse support represents the things that you might be able to get support from at each phase, instead of it just being like something like this, where it's only like, here's a new way to see the world when you're not even there yet, you know? Mm-hmm. Fried, how you doing over there? What are you thinking?
I got thoughts.
Let's hear.
Well, man, nature, everyone's like, nature's falling apart. I'm like, what are you talking about? Nature's thriving right now. Look around. I mean, LA is beautiful for the first time ever. There's no smog in the air. Yeah. Flowers are blooming. I think we've been getting so much rain. I'm not saying it's a direct effect of COVID, but you know.
That is another really strange thing.
I don't know. Like the rain. The weather seems to be doing really well. I'm sure like dolphins are back in the Mediterranean. Cougars are in Colorado. Not talking about the ladies. Talking about the animals.
Cougars are in Daytona.
Cougars are back to Daytona. It's almost like, because we're all sacrificing being in public, nature is coming back. And maybe, you know, like once a year we take a month and we like stay indoor. This will never happen, by the way, but
no.
Like you could be like, yeah, maybe there's like a month every year where you don't drive. They do it in Europe. Everyone sort of like takes a vacation from business.
Right.
And maybe there's something to be said for, I don't know. But anyway, I think by sacrificing our time indoors, maybe think about it like you're giving nature time to catch up. So you're not, right. This isn't just a waste of your time being stuck inside.
Yeah, I mean, that's one really interesting view. And I think that's part of, I guess, what I was kind of alluding to with the Finland or the Finnish government right now, where they are, it's a small enough country with like a brand new style of leader that like after this, it's going to be really interesting to see how people kind of pick up the scraps. Because, you know, a place like America, we're just going to be like business as usual, right? Now we got to build more cars and more shit. Like that's possible. But then another side of it is like places like in Finland, they might go, we need to fundamentally change some of the behaviors of our lives from now on, based on what we're seeing, based on science, based on what happened with COVID. Like every second Sunday of the month is called fucking, it's a COVID holiday, or they're calling it like COVID Memorial, where like everybody stays inside. As mandated by law, nobody's allowed to drive, everything, you know, as like a like slight kind of, you know, Neosporin for nature, right?
Yeah.
You know, which is an interesting idea. And I think that we as a society, I mean, you know, the thing that people are constantly comparing this to, I think people are comparing it to the Spanish flu, of course, but then we're hearing a lot of like, we haven't seen this since World War II, right? And World War II has this like mythic proportion, obviously, for good reason. I mean, it was like the numbers of World War II are so fucked, so insanely fucked. And now World War II created so many things as a, we can never do that again, right? And hopefully we see some of that come from this as well, where we're seeing a global event that has absolutely shaken us to our core. Hopefully it doesn't last as long as World War II did. Even if it does, though, it's like at the end of this, hopefully we see some Kyoto Protocol type things, right? And hopefully we see some like interesting ways of memorial. I mean, like Israel essentially was created because of World War II. And like, think about that as a thing, right? Which is wild. I mean, good or bad. I mean, this is not like having any commentary about the state of Israel, but just like
hate the Palestinians, bro? Let's just talk about Palestinians.
Yeah, no, it's like the global effect of mass global tragedy is really interesting. And that I think is one of those things. I mean, we are seeing nature is changing, like fundamentally changing, or at the very least is currently changing. I don't know if it's enough to like all of a sudden buy us more time, but a lot of people, like the conversation before this, particularly in places like Collapse, were like, nature is going to literally fall apart if we don't do something.
What's kind of amazing is how quickly nature, I'm not saying nature's fixed, but
no, of course,
the air quality in Los Angeles in just like a short month is the best it's ever been since like probably the 30s or something, maybe even before.
For sure.
So you're going like, oh, it actually doesn't take that much to help things out, you know, as long as everybody's doing it. So like, imagine we all had electric cars in the next 10 years. Like, the city would be like this every day.
Right.
That's a future.
Well, I mean, get to. Also, I mean, there's a lot of, it's kind of small potatoes in the grand scheme of things, but there is a big push right now for closing, kind of making it internationally illegal to have these kind of wet markets, which is what people are saying started this disease. Now, granted, they're doing it because of the disease, but like, if they close these wet markets, I mean, does that suddenly change things? Like, I don't know the rule. I mean, I'm not saying this is the same thing, but like, does that suddenly change the conversation around like rhino tusks, which we know are kind of making extinct rhinos because people are trying to get rhinos for XYZ reasons? I mean, we know that like this happened because of the pangolin potentially, which is a byproduct of the wet markets, and pangolins I think are endangered. So maybe we start seeing kind of an ecological shift because of shutting down.
Have you guys
strange wet markets, right?
Spent some time in the wet market scene online yet?
No.
Let's talk about the wet market videos. I mean, it's dog boobs. Don't do it. You're too sensitive right now.
Oh, yeah.
But it's fucking, it's intense and it's gross. And there's all kinds of shit that is just being chopped and fried and eaten. And there's zero, it's just like germs and.
Yeah.
Like people are in flip-flops, like jumping on baskets of guts to like squish them into like a basket to weigh, like with their bare feet and stuff. And it's like, and then everyone's eating rats and bats and dogs and cats and pythons and snakes and turtles and anything you can think of is like.
That's fucking insane. I mean, but it's
pretty
insane.
Interesting.
It's and everyone's insane, just like, but it yeah, also that's feels weird. Like weirdly culturally, not racist, but like there's something about, I don't want to look down on the need for wet markets, you know, because I realize that there are places in our world where like if you don't have a system of industrialized farming and butchers and all that kind of shit, then like maybe you eat a bat, right? Like if the whole point is to survive and you're like poor or it's just the way your society has been built, I'm not opposed to people eating bats. But what has happened is so much fucking bigger than that. And it's caused so many weird problems that like, you know, that is, I think when you're, you know, getting back to collapse support, I think that is part of maybe the way that you view, like, I think collapse support is so much about how to, the psychology of coping with the idea of collapse. Mm-hmm. And when you're seeing people legislate fixing certain things, because of a collapse in real time, that to me is in some capacity the nugget of hope that's worth hanging on to a little bit, right? Where you go, oh, we might be dealing with a global pandemic and everything is fucked, but at least they're closing wet markets, or like, but at least now it's pretty in Los Angeles. Like it's so petty in the grand scheme of things, but like that is kind of the way you have to think about this stuff. Is like you have to be able to glom onto the things that actually are good, you know?
Yeah. The link I just sent you guys was an interesting post about kind of the next phase of things, but the title is Engineering Civilization to Withstand Economic Collapse and Pandemics. And this is kind of what you're saying. It's like, out of this, what will we learn and how will we shift society step, you know, after this ends? And the person essentially is saying, how does civilization need to change in order to withstand pandemics like we have now, other sorts of crises and collapse and economic collapse? So her ideas so far, I say her because her name is Ash the Cyborg Witch. Assuming she's a lady. So her ideas are universal basic income so people don't have to have their lives ruined with the next pandemic or natural disaster. And then general public needs to learn better about hygiene. This is interesting. I think people are finally reminded. So she's just saying, you know, frequent hand washing, sneeze in the elbow. All this stuff should be including curriculums and school, which, you know, it's, we kind of like remind our kids, but we don't really tell them why. And they're like, well, right, it's for stuff like this. Societal structure. So, you know, just education.
Free
education is a big one. People are not in debt. And then hologram buttons and elevators to reduce the amount of possible contagion vectors. And then motion activated faucets. And then this is an interesting one. Decentralized and redundant production. So just having better production in each country. Like, they kind of already do it. Like, every country should be stockpiling along the way. Like, we've definitely boggled that fucking horse. But
huge fundamental problem with our modern economy, right? And this is actually something that's been happening. Have you been following the news in Japan, actually? This is kind of an interesting thing. So,
I meet you all.
Japan.
Nice. Love Japan.
Japan. That was the most American thing I've ever heard. Have you heard about the economic stimulus that they're doing in Japan? Ooh, konnichiwa. I love Japan.
Arigato. That's it.
But
out of words.
What they're doing in Japan, I think, is actually pretty interesting. So they've been creating some semblance of stimulus in Japan to take production away from China as a means of both decentralizing all of the production in Japan, because that's obviously a huge part of this too, is like, oh wow, China's shutting down production because of the coronavirus stuff. The global economic system falls apart, right?
Yeah.
Now Japan is trying to take money or trying to take some of the production away from China, and so evidently the Japanese government is giving tons of money to these companies to do so. But it's all an attempt to kind of essentially do that, is like take away exactly what you're saying, is like kind of decentralize production and kind of come up with new ways of changing the way we globalize, or the way our global economic structure works. And that's not to say like stopping globalization, because I think that's the other side of this. I think a lot of people are just like, oh, this is the end of globalization. Be like, no. Not the end of globalization. This is just going to change the way that global commerce works, hopefully.
You know what I was, every time you build, like, there are safety measures in place for other things that could be applied to this. So every time you build a multi-unit structure in California, you need to build certain amount of affordable housing units in that structure. Like, that is a law. So if you build a 100-unit building, like 10% of those need to be for people with low income. So, you know, it's not just like high rises for the rich, right? It's a way to try to keep things balanced. So you could apply that to medical supplies, face masks, et cetera. You could say, like, every time you build iPods, are those still a thing? MP3 players? You also need to build some kind of safety mask. Like, whatever it is that company's already doing, like 3M or Honeywell or something, like, they should be forced to be chipping into the stockpile as like a tax. And maybe it's a tax subsidy where they, you know, can write it off. Obviously, that's how it's going to be. But the government's not going to be able to make this shit on their own, because they don't do much, except for get their nipples pierced. Cuomo rules. So, you know, there might be ways to sort of engineer this into companies that are already in the United States. So this just never becomes a problem again. Granted, housing is a huge problem. It doesn't work.
So. Well, and this is the other thing too, is like, a lot of people say, how do we afford all this? Whatever. Like, I mean,
it costs more to not do it.
It costs more to not do it. Exactly. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, how are we going to afford it? There's a lot of ways we can afford it, right? I mean, it should be more criminally illegal for big companies to put money in offshore accounts. You know, I mean, that kind of thing is direct tax we're losing, right? And that tax goes to things like this, right? All it does is protect it protects profits, which is some fucking shit, right? Like, I think the universal basic income ideas are really important, I think, because of things like this, where it's like, I mean, this is the other thing that I've been thinking a lot about when it comes to like the tax, the like Trump tax tariff and shit. It's, you know, we live in California, man. Like, $1,200 is not small potatoes necessarily. Like, it's going to help a lot of people, but it like doesn't really even fucking pay rent. You know what I mean? Like, it's like maybe 1 month of rent for a lot of people.
It's an interesting conversation because it's like the money they're giving out is depending on where you live, which this thing is mostly hitting cities because that's the way germs travel, which tend to be more expensive places to live. We really should be getting $10,000 each if you live in California.
Totally.
Or like, in that's a number you're like, oh, that'll cover a month's bills. That's it. I mean, $10,000 a month here is like, it could sound like a lot to a lot of people, but in California, it's gone. Like, this shit's gone.
Yeah, it vanishes very quickly, which is crazy, man. It's crazy to think, but.
That's just the expense of everything you need to have. Like, it's an expensive place to live, dude. Yeah. Maybe the state should like roll back some of their taxes. I don't know. Like, but it's tax season right now. Everyone's paying property taxes and shit. And you're like, fuck, there's a lot of cash going out the door.
Totally.
To get $1,200 back in an emergency, I'd rather have the money that I paid. I know. Fucktards. But.
You kind of came unhinged there for a second.
Well, when you when you start paying property taxes, you're like, "Are you fucking kidding me?" Like,
I know, dude. It's crazy.
And then my other gripe with property tax right now is like the school. Well, a lot of that money goes to public schools. Okay, right. I'm into public schools, but when you close down a public school for 3 months,
yeah,
right,
pay back that 3 month cost.
Totally.
You know, don't just keep the money, and they'll be like, "But no, we want the money," and you're like, "Fuck you, man!" Like, I don't know. It's annoying, but it's all.
No, I agree. I mean, I wish we could see. I mean, that's actually kind of a libertarian perspective that I actually very much agree with. Is like the idea of seeing the receipts for your taxes, right? Understanding where all of it goes and where you can be like, oh shit, like I'm giving 35% of my taxes are going to fucking military. Fuck that, dude. I'm not gonna fucking pay for your fucking bullshit wars. And I think there's value in that.
N95 masks and things to fight germs.
Exactly.
Then you're like, okay, maybe that's a smart way to allocate some of those funds within the military. They seem like the only people that can actually pull it off. But dude, a nuke isn't gonna beat COVID, which is hilarious. Actually, a nuke probably would beat COVID, but we'd all have to.
Actually, I would put money on it beating COVID, but it would kill COVID and a few other things. So this has been kind of lingering on the screen. I'm going to read this just because it is actually very interesting. This is the Collapse Support second of all time, Dark Mountain Manifesto. I don't know what Dark Mountain Manifesto is. Can one of you guys look that up and see if that's coming from another thing? So the 8 principles of uncivilization. We must unhumanize our views a little and become confident as the rock and ocean that we are made from. We live in a time, we live in a time of social, economic, and ecological unraveling. All around us are signs that our whole way of living is already passing into history. We will face this reality honestly and learn to live with it. 2, we reject the faith that which holds that the converging crisis of our times can be reduced to a set of problems in need of technological or political solutions. 3, we believe that the roots of these crises lay in the stories we have been telling ourselves. That's interesting. We intend to challenge the stories which underpin our civilization, the myth of progress, the myth of human centrality, the myth of our separation from nature. These myths are more dangerous for the fact that we have forgotten their myths. 4, We will reassert the role of storytelling as a more than mere entertainment. It is through stories that we weave reality.
That's the whole. It's the whole Jewish thing every year.
Is it?
Yeah, it's like, hey guys, remember they slaughtered us in Egypt? Let's get our shit together. You know, it's like they remind through story of like the history of their people and that they.
I mean, I think it's kind of central to most things. I mean, yeah. So 5, humans. Humans are not the point and the purpose of the planet. Our art will begin with the attempt to step outside the human bubble. By careful attention, we will re-engage the non-human world. 6, we will celebrate writing and art, which is grounded in a sense of place and time. Our literature has been dominated for far too long by those who inhabit the cosmopolitan citadels. Interesting. 7, we will not lose ourselves in the elaboration of theories or ideologies. Our words will be elemental. We write with dirt under our fingernails. 8, the end of the world as we know it is not the end of the world, full stop. Together we will find the hope beyond hope and the paths which lead to the unknown world ahead of us. Interesting. Do you guys figure out what the Dark Mountain Manifesto is?
I think it's Doug, do you know?
Yeah, it's this thing called the Dark Mountain Project. It started out as a blog post written by Paul Kingsnorth and Dougald Hine, and it marked a first attempt to put into words the ideas and feelings which led to Dark Mountain. Think of it as a flag raised so that we can find another one. I think it's basic, like, from what I'm gathering, it's very hoo-ha-ish, but it seems like they're dropping out of, like, bullshit society to do art in the woods. I don't
know. What is Dark Mountain? Is Dark Mountain like a art collective? A
cult? Together we're walking away from the stories that our societies like to tell themselves, the stories that present us from seeing clearly the extent of the ecological, social, and cultural unraveling that's now underway. We're making art that doesn't take the centrality of humans for granted. We're tracing the deep cultural roots of the mess the world is in, and we're looking for other stories, ones that can help us make sense of time, that of a time of disruption and uncertainty. It's a radical project. I don't really know. That's kind of it.
Interesting. I mean, I think some of the points are really valid, but I don't, it's tough because I think it's a bit dangerous to think of collapse and collapse support through the lens of like hippie weirdo artdom. Because I think it transcends that. And I think that kind of, it's like Occupy Wall Street a little bit, right? We're like, Occupy Wall Street was very valid, very true, very important. But as soon as it kind of got branded as like guys with dreadlocks eating like 3-day-old pizza and like smoking weed out of fucking apple bongs, it like ruined the movement, you know?
Yeah, true.
And I think this is a little bit, I think, what we see with things like this. We're like, Dark Mountain as an economic idea is really interesting, right? Where suddenly you go, yeah, like narrative and storytelling needs to come from a place that reflects the true, like, storytelling is how we develop the ideas that we use to then build civilizations on, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, capitalism is a narrative and it's a story and it's a storytelling structure that we build everything on. The quicker we can abandon that or at least decentralize it, the better it is for everyone, you know? Like, that's a really interesting idea that we should be able to apply to things that are not just fucking making art out of hemp, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, candles, bro. Save the world.
Konnichiwa. I love Japan.
Konnichiwa. I love Japan. Arigato.
Japan, what else is on here cool. That is worth... Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say I love Japan. I got to go do preschool lesson with my 3-year-old guy.
Right. Well, I think, you know, school. I mean, collapse support. So, you know, as we do, you know, we kind of got a little bit into it. I mean, there's a lot to be gleaned from this. But the main thing to glean from it is if you are feeling that the collapse of modern civilization is too heavy and takes too much of a toll on you, that's okay. This place can help you kind of feel a little bit of a sense of a little bit of a sense of support and give you the tools you need to deal with it, right? There are a lot of places online that do that. Collapse support just like provides some tools to help that. So if you're feeling that, I would encourage you to go there. If you're just feeling generally down, I would also encourage you to maybe use it or there's a million resources that can help you get over it. I mean, Dog, do you have anything that you want to add to the collapse support that we haven't already discussed?
Only that it's, you know, take a look if you want. Sometimes here to talk to somebody really nice. People here are talking about like anxiety dreams they're having, or just needing comfort and ways to cope. So just check it out if it seems like something that you'd benefit from. That's all I would suggest.
Right. And Dog, I know that you've been having a tough bout. So hopefully you find peace and can cope on this.
Thank you.
I mean, this goes for everybody too. I mean, anybody who's listening that's like lost their job or, you know, is feeling the effects of COVID in a profound way that I think is really kind of shaking you at your core. Let us know how you're dealing with it. And because I think that, you know, we are now like, I mean, despite the beginning of this pod, we're trying to do these, we want to do some videos more because I think that obviously we have to because we're now in quarantine. We'd rather do it this way than just doing audio. I mean, especially it lets us show what we're looking at and whatnot. But you know, beyond that, we're just trying to find new ways to engage and think a little bit about what it means to be dealing with all this. I mean, I think that Reddit is a beautiful, wonderful resource in the middle of this COVID stuff.
Yeah.
Not for necessarily the obvious ways. I mean, you have something like Collapse Support, which is directly about it. But at the same time, you know, when we talk about Wall Street Bets or, you know, aliens or whatever, there's also the like real distraction or research or whatever. You know, there's a lot of reasons you get something out of something like Reddit. And if you're dealing with what Dog has been going through, if you're dealing with, I mean, we're all dealing with it in different ways. I mean, obviously Friday is a father of two, which I think is interesting for this time. Like, how do you talk to your kids about what's going on with COVID? If you're just a fucking, I mean, I had tours cancel, which is absolutely small potatoes in the grand scheme of things, but aww. You know, everybody has something that they've been affected by with this. And I think it's not easy for anybody, and whatever coping mechanism that you use, let us help in whatever way we can. All right, let's hit a couple randoms to close this boy out. Let's see what I got here. Random. Where OS. Welcome to the Wear OS, the software powering millions of wearables around the globe. Wear OS is designed to fit your life with features like fitness tracking, customizable watch faces, and a broad array of apps. Isn't it insane how Reddit works? This has 48,000 subscribers. And this is literally just a sub dedicated to the OS system for Apple.
So lame.
So
this one's interesting. I landed on called Rep Ladies. It's a women's replica community. And so it's all about...
Do you want to share your screen?
No. Ah. How do I show? I sent it to you. I don't know why it's not sharing, but it's not.
I'll just open it on my screen.
But it's all about women's fashion and authentic replicas, which I'm not sure what those are, but it's a community about. I'm assuming there's the factory where they're made, and then there's a bunch of guys who rip off a bunch of that product and sell it in the black market, maybe.
So it's like a replica like Yeezy vibe. Is that kind of the energy?
But I think it's more like, you know, ladies' handbags, you know, fashion brands, like, you know, high-end Louis Vuitton.
It's like the stuff you get in Hermes. Chinatown.
Yeah, but it seems like it's a cut above. A stitch above. All right, guys, I'm out of here. I'll see you later. Good luck.
All right.
Gotta go teach the teacher for, you know, Molding Minds.
Yes. Enjoy.
What are you teaching young Chuck today?
I haven't even checked out the lesson. I have 6 minutes to figure it out. Shouldn't be.
Really?
It's going to be like Tiger.
I mean, it can't be that hard. This is a triangle. This is a square.
That
two
kind
plus,
of stuff.
2 + 1 = 3. Yeah.
Yeah.
You got this.
Yep.
It'll be easy
Much
enough.
Much love. Stay up. Grind that pole. Wash those hands. Wash that pole. Wash all your poles. And I'll talk to you later.
Sounds good.
Bye. Also, fucking boobs, you landed on Watch Reddit Die.
Yeah.
Watch fucking insane. Reddit. What is this?
This is a subreddit to track
abandonment
of free speech and decline into censorship. Watch Reddit Die is not a life raft for your abandoned community or censored views. It's a fire alarm for the rest of Reddit.
Shit, Doc. This is actually a pretty, we should maybe cover this one.
Oh my God,
Reddit.
Read the about. Reddit is a rotting whale carcass washing up on the shores of irrelevancy.
This sub is dedicated to documenting the last stages of decay. Post here links to threads and comments on Reddit that show how Reddit is deviating from the open free speech censorship free platform it used to be.
Damn. Ooh, this is a toxic place.
This is a really dark.
Oh my god. I don't know if I can handle this one right now. I feel like this is like
this has been around since 2015.
Well, so it looks like it was created in response to Reddit collaborating with the German and Russian governments to censor subreddits. Is what it says. So
yeah, so the flair they have is CEO abuse, election interference, $150 million Tencent, and Reddit Inc. is Chinese propaganda.
Wow, dude. Damn, this one, I want to figure out how to talk about this one in a real way, because this is pretty fucking hard, man.
Yeah. That's pretty crazy.
I'm confident that Reddit could sway elections. We wouldn't do it, of course, and I don't know how many times you could get away with it, but if we really wanted to, I'm sure Reddit could have swayed at least one election this one. Spez. A lot of people hate on Spez, but I kind of like his absolutely candid take on everything.
Yeah.
Like, well, I don't like it. I like it in a way. Like, I like the fact that he like does not give a fuck and is willing to just say shit like that, you know?
Yeah.
Damn, dude, this is fascinating. This is an interesting one. This is like a, let's put a tab in that one, man. Cause that one, I think it's going to be worth talking about later. But anyway, all right. So let's close this guy out. Clap support. If you need it, use it. Dog, I hope you feel better. I'm sorry that you're not well. If you want to talk offline or online, I'm happy to talk, because I know that this is not fun for you or anyone. And thanks for tuning into Twitch. If you guys are watching us on Twitch right now, fuck yeah. I promise this is only the second time we've done this. I know it cleaned up. We got it sorted after a little bit. But we are moving now. So hopefully this turns out nice. And then if you're just listening to the audio cast, if you will, we'll be back next time and try to tune in and see what it's like on Twitch. It's actually kind of interesting seeing us talk in real life and struggle through technology as I deal with literally three screens trying to figure this out. But we'll be back next week. We're going to try to create a little bit more of the cadence again. I know that we've been a little inconsistent. Obviously, Rona's kind of fucked everything up. But we'll be back again doing some more consistent podding. Stay safe, wash your hands, and see ya.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.